Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 23rd on the West Coast, now February the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and we're aware that some of you are keeping tabs of all the crazy things going on because it's happening in your backyard. Certainly we want to remember the folks in Christchurch, New Zealand, who have been devastated by an earthquake. And if I trust my intuition, that earthquake was artificially induced using the HARP system. And we may talk about that and some other things. If you haven't noticed, and I just want to say this as a preface to the beginning of the show, when we have so many different things going on and there's so many different stories coming out and the mainstream media is stuck on one particular aspect, they're trying to drive a belief system home, trying to get you to pay attention to what they're saying and stop listening to what you know is going on in other parts of the world. And it builds up a lot of fear, and it causes people to make decisions that they wouldn't normally make if they had information, if they had knowledge, and they could apply it to what they were doing, which really is what they're being. And so if I could offer any advice for those of you who are moving from one fear event to the next, just constant drama, fear, fear, fear. You need security. We have hope. And all the other crazy things they say. If you could separate yourself from that for a moment, I would use three words to describe it. In the words of the group Toto, let it go.
I need to say, you've been shadowing my door, got this spirit that never dies, every sorrow washed ashore, no more tears to fill my eyes. Hey, go, gotta make your life whole. Hey, go.
just let it go, as Toto said. That music is very close to my heart because of some of the musicians in the group. David Page, whose father I studied with when I was 16 years old in a music educators class. I was still in high school and got to rub shoulders with Marty Page. Marty Page, who used to produce the Glenn Campbell Show, Sonny and Cher, as far as music production, fantastic arranger, and his son David on keyboard and vocals. The drummer, Jeff Porcaro, was a close friend of one of my brothers, who's also a drummer, and Jeff died, unfortunately, a few years back while tending to his garden. A toxic pesticide caused him to go into, let's say, an asthmatic condition, and then he suffered a massive heart attack. One of the best drummers ever to walk on this planet Earth. And this music is very spiritual, and that particular song covers every human dilemma. We're going to talk about that, and I want to get the impressions of tonight's guest, who is in his own right a talk show host on bbsradio.com. Every second Saturday, he hosts a show called Zero Point, and he hosts a website called zeropoint.ca. My good friend, who is a clinical and forensic psychologist, a metaphysician, student of Blavatsky, a student of Gurdjieff and others, and has written numerous books on the spiritual side of who we are, and really the true nature of who we are. My good friend, Christopher Holmes, PhD. Christopher, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hi, Don. Thank you. It's pleased to be back. Yeah, a lot happening in the world. I meant to mention, you do play such an interesting variety of sounds and songs in your show. I really enjoy that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Long time since I heard Toto.
I tell the listeners that... who all like music, I'm pretty sure, that this is a way for us to step outside the box. And I try to select music that's appropriate to what spirit is saying. And often I do that on the fly. So if it comes out right, fine. If it doesn't, well, I tried. But
idea in Toto's song was of letting it go, and you were relating that to the fact of so much happening in the world at this time, and the kind of generation of fear and how that's affecting people.
Mm-hmm. They're using it to control us, and as long as we take the bait, then we become chaotic in our discernment, in our perceptions, in our thoughts, and in our actions. And we're not being who we really could be. And I don't mean to sound like an army commercial, because I don't think they let them be all they can be. There's the way they sell you the idea, and the way it goes down are two different things. But that's another topic.
Well, I must say, I was wondering, what would scare a person more, the mainstream media or listening to alternative radio? Because really, if you listen to alternative radio, you learn so much more about all the things going on, like the chemtrails and the poisoning of the food and the fracking and the threats to the environment. And like, in a way, I would say that the alternative media, in a way, could generate more fear than the mainstream media, just because you learn more of the horrifying truth. like it's quite a process waking up to the deviousness and the criminality of what our governments have been doing for decades, and all the horrors being perpetrated around the world, like to wake up to all that. And in a way, the mainstream media lulls you all to sleep. Like, it kind of presents that you have honorable men and women representing your needs as Americans and standing up for the principles of the country and democracy. And you have that complete charade on the mainstream media, in a way trying to make it all seem normal. Mm-hmm. And obscuring the criminal activities of the bankers and the politicians and such.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, this is it's happening on an international scale right now. It's not just here. You see, we're not hearing what's going on in other parts of the world. We're seeing what they want us to see. You know, Egypt. Suddenly everybody's an expert on Egypt. You mean nobody saw this coming? This ouster of Mubarak, no one saw that coming. This is a CIA black ops project with the cooperation of the Mossad and MI6 and even French intelligence. They're all behind it. That's my perception. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Because, we have to talk about what's going on so that we understand why we're being given the version of the story that we're being given. Do you agree with that? Or,
well, I don't think I understand it yet, and I'm not sure. I tend to assume that the CIA and the Mossad and the intelligence agencies and these people are behind it. Mm-hmm. And others, but I'm not sure that they have it in control to the extent that they really want. And I mean, it kind of depends how awake are the Egyptian people and how much mm-hmm. will they buy into another. I mean, even the government in Egypt now is just a selection of the same criminal types. You know,
yeah.
Many of the ministers are the same, and it's kind of ruled by this character who's been a torturer for the last 10 years or something.
Well, I think he's been in power for about 30 years. So,
yeah, I was thinking of the fellow who's assumed leadership at the moment. He a head of the police or security?
Again, they put the person in there that they want now, if that's because that's certainly it's not who the people want.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me two million people suddenly decide that they're going to descend on the government? I mean, that's great if that happened that way. But why is the media pumping the story like they are? With that came all these stories of how they were all spat upon and beaten up, and one of the female reporters from CBS was even gang raped, they say, while they're celebrating their freedom. I mean,
I think that may rank up there with the babies thrown on the floor out of the incubators. I would expect that, or the Afghani parents who are now burning their children, according to some other, characters.
Yeah.
For sure it's suspicious. Not that people shouldn't be attacking the media. I mean, the media have been so much a part of this and perpetrating these crimes against the Egyptian people. And then all of a sudden the media try to pretend that they're independent and are on their side. I mean, it's a farce.
Yeah.
The media have served none of the public.
Well, most people here in this country are not violent, so they're not going to attack the media in that fashion. But don't be surprised if they push the right buttons and people do act that way after coming to a realization as to how many years they've been lied to by the media in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, Christopher. You know, it's this belief system that what they tell us is the truth, so therefore they don't lie, and they can tell us anything they want, and they can present anything they want. Sometimes you wonder, how do you know that what they're showing you as the news isn't a clip from a movie that hasn't been released yet? You know, they dirty up the picture a little bit, make it look chaotic, show a loop of it over and over and over again, like they do on CNN, because they don't really have any valid information. So they want to make everything become a spectacle, like a movie script.
And, yeah, I see the media is actually staging events and being scripted ahead of time, and it's just like their coverage of 9/11. The mainstream media, I believe, had scripted witnesses that were actors and actresses, and they used a sound studio, and I think they actually, it's much more actively involved in actually staging and scripting these events. I'm not sure what I was trying to say.
Well, in essence, what we're talking about is what we're seeing is not necessarily what's happening, or it doesn't necessarily mean what they're telling us it happened, telling us has happened, or is
yeah going. Exactly, we can't trust them at all. I mean, the factual details of situations they might be knowledgeable of, but their interpretation of it, and mm-hmm. I mean, you just see how I mean, really, the American media has deceived the American public about every significant event in the last 50 years of American history, going back to the assassination of Kennedys and Martin Luther King and all these assassinations. They always cover up the true details of those events. They obscure the causes of war. They never raise critical questions. You know, all the time while pretending that they're giving you fair and impartial judgment. You know, and then they have all their fake experts and witnesses that they draw from all the kind of Rockefeller think tanks, and these people mm-hmm. are trotted out like they're some experts, and they parade them on TV, and people actually believe these people. They don't realize how, you know, the whole thing is a deception. You know, this yes. terrible war, I mean, if the media ever came out with the truth one day, they'd say, oh, sorry, the real terrorists aren't Al-Qaeda and Muslims, it's really a group of radical Zionist Jews and Talmudic Jews and Satanists and Luciferians. I mean, the media can never come out and tell the truth. You know, everything is a lie. And the whole thing, all these terrorist activities for the last 20 years blamed on Muslims, which all the time were the intelligence agencies and the black ops. And they've mm-hmm. done it around the world.
Mm, yes, yes.
It's really quite terrible when you wake up to it. And these people in the media, like in a way, they're guilty of very serious crimes. Like they're guilty of obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. Okay, in how they hide the, you know, they obscure the truth and help the. You know, these people get away with their frauds. I mean, they're guilty of very serious crimes. Accessory after the fact, the mass murder on 9/11.
And they're bribed to go along with it, too. Throw that in there, too.
Well, people will sell their souls. People, you know, they can't go along with it, and they enjoy the perks of their positions and influence and but at the same time, they're guilty of very serious crimes, and there's someone you can't escape who can look into your heart at the end of time and judge your life and who you are. So I believe we all face a higher intelligence at some point in our life, and these crimes that they commit, they think they're going to just get away with it, and I don't think it's so simple.
Yes. Well, Christopher, you know that night in and night out on this show, at least Monday through Fridays, I am and my guests are bringing forth all kinds of information, revealing specific things that are going on in the health industry, in the petroleum industry, in the educational systems, in religion, in the arts, in this. When we talk about education, we really mean to say indoctrination, and we do talk about the media, and we do talk about politics and the corruption there, the corruption on Wall Street and the banks and the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. We inform our listeners about all this stuff. Now we know who these people are. We've identified who they are, and we know what they're doing. We've identified that.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that we should allow it to continue. You see, I played that song, Let It Go. But what we're talking about is jumping off the merry-go-round or the carousel, jumping off and looking at it from outside and recognizing it for what it is. Because the moment you jump off, you can't associate with those feelings that you have when you're on the ride, you see? And so when you jump off that carousel and you look at everything, you've already begun to let it go at that point. Just the decision to try to understand what's going on, not because you have to listen to what somebody's telling you, but by doing some research and informing yourself, facing your fear and putting your true essence to work. Because if you're going to let it go, you've got to let go of all of those mental constructs that have been programmed into us for our whole lives. And upon freeing oneself of that, or at least stepping outside it, then we open up the door to expanding our consciousness and discovering the true nature of who we are. And the reason I mentioned what I just did or said what I just said is so we could segue into looking at the true nature of who we are and how or why we react to these things. And I know we could do several shows on this topic, but applying a solution, a way to let it go or what you replace it with. And I think talking about really who we are in the deepest sense is the key to us overcoming this. Each one of us in our own way could do that. It's not a cookie cutter technique per se as far as how the results are going to go or what specifically you might work on. But in terms of how each individual's life is, I think the same principles apply. What say you on that, sir?
Different things as you cover a variety of topics. You know, in regards to letting things go, as a psychologist, my experience has been the way people most hold things in is through holding their breath. And if you can imagine a small boy kind of being spanked and he's upset and he's on the verge of crying and his father says, "You stop or I'll give you something to cry about." And what happens is that little boy sucks up his breath and he holds his breath. Okay, and then over time, if you hold in a lot of feelings, your breath becomes chronically contracted and you never exhale. And it's disturbances in the breath are so common and widespread that people don't breathe properly and they don't exhale. So when I think of letting go, it's like, in a way, one has to work practically with the breath to let go. You have to exhale and learn to breathe deeper. And if a person feels anxiety or fearfulness, work with the breath, I'd say, is the most useful and practical thing to do. And in mysticism, the breath, in the Greek, the word psyche also meant breath, because the soul is said to be connected to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
God breathes into man a living soul. Okay, so we want to enhance our breath life And as people grow older, they develop muscular armoring, as described by Wilhelm Reich. And it blocks off their sensation and awareness of their lower body, so they're not grounded into the physical.
Yes.
So people can really, on a practical level, work with your breath and deepen your breath and more from the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that can help a person feel, well, if you do that, you can, you know, go into state, really deep states of kind of peacefulness and such. But you can feel empowered, and it'll help dissipate feelings of anxiety and dread.
Yes.
And another thing I find is that on occasions when I get out and do something physically active, like I go out when I can to the Ottawa 9/11 group, and I get to talk to people on the street and asking if they realize the government is poisoning them with chemtrails and give out 9/11 DVDs. And I go out and it's like afterwards I feel empowered, like I did something. I didn't just hide away in fearfulness of what's coming next and watch a TV and watch a radio and who's saying what and who's right. And, you know, you can just get all caught up in that cycle of just thinking and like not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually go from thinking and worrying and feeling stressed to actually doing something physical, I think that helps people get out of that cycle of dread.
Yes, when you were describing the child getting spanked and holding the breath, as an example, you know, don't try this at home unless absolutely necessary, I guess. But the anyone who's in that state, a state of fear, they go, they take this big breath, this inward sigh, almost like you see in the horror pictures. And, you know, do you ever notice how the people just back up into a corner? They don't even think to run, to move. They become paralyzed because the whole body tenses up, you see. And when people aren't letting it go, or they don't have an outlet, or even really consciously recognize that they're taking this energy in and it's having a negative impact on them, because they're moving from fear to fear to fear to fear as these events are created and then publicized, put out there or published, whether it's in video or in writing or radio like right now. So what you're saying is true. And it also releases that tension, and it may not be exactly the same kind of tension that the little boy or girl is feeling as they're about to get spanked. It could be something that's an anxiety that you have about your work or about going to work or coming home from work or dealing with your family or dealing with the problems that come your way throughout the day. And on top of it, we have these things of a planetary scale going on. And you have to stop long enough to ask yourself the question, why is all this happening like this? Who's behind this, or what is behind this? And the moment you step outside of all of that reactionary emotion, then you can see it a little bit clearer. That's what you're talking about. So, yes, I agree with you, Christopher, that the breath is the pathway. And to focus on releasing tension, just intend for it to leave your body. And you'll realize, wow, I was gritting my teeth or tapping my foot uncontrollably.
If people catch themselves at moments of feeling anxiety and fearfulness, and just see what they're doing in their body, like how they contract and hold themselves so that it's releasing that muscular tensions and then exhaling. I always emphasize with people learning to exhale fully, because if you exhale fully, you don't have to emphasize the inhalation, but it just comes naturally. So we can emphasize the exhalation. And when I used to teach anger management or work with anxiety, people who had anxiety problems, the most important thing was working with the breath. And people who get depression a lot, they sit, and they'll just sit, and they hardly breathe. It's like they chronically contracted. They don't breathe. And as they don't breathe, their aura comes in closer to their body. Like, I believe if you had to breathe deeply, it enhances your aura. Like, so it moves out feet beyond you. Whereas if you hold your breath, that your aura contracts.
Mm-hmm. There isn't really a musical instrument, Christopher, that you can play without breathing. At some point, you have to breathe.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of technique, the breath is very important. Whether you're singing or you're playing the drums or some percussion instrument, you're actually exerting yourself in multi-dimensional ways. A lot of what happens because of what comes from the heart. It's amazing what you can endure in that respect. So, you know, musicians generally, and I'm speaking of any kind, it doesn't have to be in a rock band or a jazz band. It could be in a symphony orchestra, or it could be someone out playing a solo instrument like a harp or a mandolin or a flute. It doesn't have to be this a staged spectacle. But just the purity of the sound and the mechanics that are required puts a musician in a totally different state than the listening audience. Now, if the listening audience can put themselves into the music and imagine what it takes to be able to create that, they can connect with that in a deeper way. And they can expand their horizons to appreciate other types of music, because today what's popular is very destructive to the psyche, to the soul, to the physical body and the mind. Now, that doesn't mean all music, but what is promoted by the record labels fits those categories. It's all about societal control, and people have to become conscious that that's occurring, that their feelings and their emotions, their thoughts, and their actions are being steered in a direction by the things that they're being exposed to. I don't know how you feel about that, Christopher, but I...
Oh, absolutely true. Like, I mean, a lot of the hard rock or a lot of the popular music today, it's driving and just the beat to it, and the drum is like a heartbeat and it's just driving. Like, I see people at times who kind of listen to it, and they're driven by the music in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn not to be driven. Like Gurdjieff emphasized how everyone's controlled by stimuli. And I don't know, you put on music or television, these things in a way drive you. And I think we all need breaks from that. People need to simplify their lives more sometimes, turn everything off and just have silence and
yes.
Breathe and come back to just being and being aware and awake and having moments of that. Like that's what I talked about before, self-remembering, which is the Gurdjieff practice. And as you go about your life, you try to just come back to being here now and breathing and feeling present and having moments of that through your days instead of always having things on your mind and being concerned with what happened a moment ago or yesterday or what you got to do tomorrow and all what people said and what you got said back to them. And your mind is turning all the time. So people need breaks from that turning of the mind, just to kind of clear your mind. So I guess that's part of music too. It helps you clear your mind and kind of breathe and be focused in your activity.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could play music.
Well, you know, it
another
it's
life.
A discipline. There's a discipline thing. Regardless of what instrument you're learning, you have to learn the techniques that you know, the proper way to hold the instrument, the way that you physiologically can adapt yourself, your body, to what the instrument requires. Some instruments aren't made for certain people. Some people's fingers are too fat, let's say, to put them on a fretboard of a violin, or I should say fingerboard, because they don't have frets. Let's say guitar, for example. This is kind of a tangential moment here, since I mentioned a fretted instrument. The late bass player Jaco Pastorius, who invented the fretless bass, said that to him the frets on the bass guitar were nothing more than speed bumps. they slowed you down. So he removed all the frets and he started a style of fretless bass guitar playing.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting. He took a classical approach to playing an electric instrument, you see.
Wow.
And it produced wonderful things. It developed all kinds of styles that really have some validity in real music. But what we have today are these clips or excerpts of the music being adapted to today's music by what's called sampling, where they take a portion of it, crop it out of the original recording, and then manipulate it as a background. Now it works, but it's not being applied the way the music was applied to its original purpose. And so it takes on a different meaning, and you can manipulate people and reduce creativity, because now music is not being composed. It's being recycled like plastic or cardboard or paper. They're recycling it into something else, and so it loses its original character, its original purpose, because I truly believe that musicians are inspired. In a universal context, they can tune in to the heartbeat or the pulse of a nation or of a planet. And
is it music they say is food for the soul?
Oh yes, absolutely.
That's an expression, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree. Like, it can empower us. Like, I know I listen to certain type of music. Like, I like Sarah Brightman. Do you know her singing at all?
Yes, she used to be the lead in The Phantom of the Opera, and she was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, she's quite amazing. Some of her, so beautiful. Like, music can be so inspirational. I remember when I was young at night, I used to think I would experience in my sleeping state these kind of beautiful choruses and music that somehow seemed to be like out of the heavenly realm somehow. I remember that as an experience early in my life, that I could hear this beautiful music like there was another realm that it issued from, and I could hear that at night. But yeah, music is like food for the soul.
Yeah, so anyway, I didn't mean to go off on too much of a tangent other than to say that, you know, there are very, very deep forces at work when one gets into art. And, you know, all arts are the same way. Painting would be, to your sight. What we're experiencing, some of the problems that are producing this fear and this tension is the fact that we have been disconnected from those aspects of creativity, which are part of the creation. The creation isn't something that happened and it's finished. It's ongoing. And we're allowing others to create it on our behalf, and they're not doing a real good job, are they?
No, they seem more into the destruction side of things, actually.
Yeah. They'll show us images, but they're not showing us any inspirational images.
No.
They're showing us death and destruction, tragedy, and so when we do see images, we're seeing these distortions of who we are or what our capacity to make who we are affect our reality. We're not, you know, we're really imprisoned in that sense, unless we learn to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I believe that's how we attain freedom within ourselves, is by somehow the inner self is separate from all those things which happen to us. And there's a way within ourselves of attaining that inner separation. I believe through awakening that a person can experience the bliss sheath in the heart and feel this kind of blissfulness through yourself, through the awakening of the heart. And then that feeling is still there. It doesn't mean that you're always feeling blissed out in it, but it's there that you can come back to, and you can kind of feel again the bliss of the heart or the bliss within yourself.
Yeah, that's when that connection I'm talking about is made. You know, when the music composer or the musician or the singer is creating whatever, a song or a symphony or a concerto, they are tuning into this grand aspect. You're calling it the bliss, and there is a sense of bliss in a sense. It's not an ego-based approach. It's recognizing your connection to the all, the oneness of the all, and separating yourself from the illusions. It really allows you to do that. When illusion is placed into the music, then it corrupts the music. And that's why we have today a lot of bad music being created.
Yeah, and we see now how it's even been deliberately over time. They've tried to introduce disturbances through the music, how that's been intentionally and so designed by the Tavistock Institute and other forces that kind of control the movie industry. Don, I didn't mean too much to switch topics on you, but you mentioned earlier the issue of Christchurch, and I didn't. I wrote that down when you mentioned it, and I was. You mentioned that. Was there some evidence emerging that earthquake might have been induced by HAARP? And I'll say a little bit about why I asked the question, because about 3 years ago, I did a tour of New Zealand giving lectures on my work on Blavatsky for the Theosophical Society. And I toured the North and South Island of New Zealand. And I remember crossing over to South Island from North Island, and you have to take a ferry across. And when you land on South Island, then it's about 200 miles down the east coast to where Christchurch is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in the north end of South Island, there's said to be a huge black ops U.S. military base with radio antenna arrays. It's in the north end of South Island. It's on the east coast. And I remember driving by it. It just seemed so unnatural. It was all like blocked off. You couldn't go anywhere into the area.
Yeah,
I didn't know. Is there thought to be a HAARP facility in New Zealand there on South Island?
Well, it sounds to me like you just described one. But the way HAARP works is it can work with satellites, for one thing. They can basically aim the whatever frequencies they're working with at a given time in a particular direction. It could be using an adaptation of Tesla's earthquake machine, amplified, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been going on for some time along the Pacific Rim. Last year, there were many quakes, if you recall, happening around Australia. Australia now is going through very, very severe flooding, And now you have an earthquake down there. These things don't seem to be natural. And they, you know, my intuition tells me they're orchestrated. Do I have the readouts of what would back that up? No. But we've been right about Haiti and some other events. Arkansas is going through this too, you see. It's not just there. Arkansas has had several hundred earthquakes of different intensities. Why is that occurring? You know, on the heels of things that they say are going to happen to the New Madrid Fault, which basically goes all the way from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up into Canada.
Through Central America, like up the Mississippi Valley, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and, you know, they're talking about splitting the country along the Mississippi River. And if they do that with earthquakes, that could spread the water out a couple hundred miles.
Yeah.
From the center of the river, you know, 100 miles on each side at the minimum. Why would anyone try to do that? You know, it's just the creation of chaos. So you step outside of it, you let it go. You look at it and you say, okay, they're doing this. You keep tabs on them. You let them know that you realize what's going on. And enough people hear that message, they'll wake up. With the knowledge, they'll wake up.
I wonder if many of the people in Australia were wondering about the causes of their torrential rain downpours and then that massive cyclone that hit them.
Well, they've got Pine Gap there in Australia. I'm sure they have their suspicions about who might be behind this.
Yeah.
And they've written books on weather warfare. They've talked themselves about how they're going to control the weather, have complete control of it by 2025, and thus control the whole world. They won't need to make explosives. They'll use nature to do it.
My God, these people are psychopaths. Eh?
Yes.
It's like they have no respect for life, eh? Just no respect for Mother Earth or the elements or life forms.
Well, even for themselves.
you know?
Even for themselves. I mean, to think that they would do that, or somehow that they're exempt from anything that might happen, or exempt from responsibility for what they do?
Well, I think they've had that through their life.
Mm-hmm.
From the youngest of ages, they were kind of exempt through it, like they were different than others and got away with all kinds of things that other people would have been in jail for or in trouble for. But they just get away with anything. And they won't have the last laugh. I don't think so.
There are consequences on a universal scale. There are consequences for what they have done, what they are doing, and what they intend to do. It's really all one continuous stream, you see. In that grand sense, you know, when one contemplates the nature of eternity, if it's forever, then it includes all time, and therefore there really is no past, no present, and no future, but a continuous state of now. Any thoughts on that?
I believe that there's a higher dimensional realm that's eternal and in which time as such does not exist. Yes, I believe that.
Yes.
And that's like the fundamental note, and then everything manifests out of that as illusory. And
so we would be, in essence, living in a fractal portion of that whole.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Gurdjieff describes us as each divine fractions of the whole. like the whole lives through all of us.
I didn't know that, so.
Yeah.
Well.
But I was coming back. Was there any other evidences about Christ Church a quake that stood out to you? I hadn't really seen any of the videos on it, or I hadn't been watching my TV. I don't watch my TV anymore.
I haven't seen a lick of video on it. Let's just say that I was able to get confirmation from another source. Okay. And I have at times brought the specifics out when I feel the time is appropriate. But
yeah.
Right now,
okay.
You know, there are some things being analyzed, we'll say. So,
yeah.
And most people I've talked to feel the same way. So I have to honor their intuition in that sense. You know, people
yeah.
are saying, I don't know specifically what it is. Because as far as somebody telling me, do you ever really know the truth when they tell you? You know, when it's the media telling you? So you always got to be using your discernment anyway.
Yeah.
Even when they're telling you, that's when you really turn it on. full blast.
Yeah, well, it was funny because for me, my intuition immediately suggested there was something about that area and Christchurch and
mm-hmm.
and the presence of that base that I mentioned there, but I don't know. But intuitively, there's something more to this. But it's like there's something more to everything that happens. You know, our day to day weather, all these quakes. You know, just so much of this we can't trust anymore that these are just natural phenomena.
But we do have the power to control the weather ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
And I've been doing that, and I know some others who have been doing it.
Oh, you mean ourselves as individuals?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had a similar
experience, and it seemed that I felt that I could calm the wind, that
mm-hmm.
was possible.
Well, we had heavy rains predicted 2 days last week, Thursday and Friday, and it was supposed to be all day, all night, straight through 2 days, possibly up to a couple of inches. We didn't get one drop. Okay, and I told someone who was worried about the rain, I said, "Don't worry, it's not going to rain." And they said, "How do you know that? They just announced that it's going to rain for 2 days. That sounds crazy." And I said, "It's not going to rain because I said it's not."
Oh, yeah.
You see?
Yeah,
I mean,
had a series of experiences along that line. I remember that a few months ago, especially you focused on that.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that I prevent it from raining all the time. But
no,
we had a foot of snow on the ground. We didn't need the rain, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite reasonable if we understood subtle energies, how a person might be able to affect natural phenomena. Like, it's like, Wilhelm Reich with his orgone machines was a simple kind of long metal cylinder, and you can't put it into the ground, I think, with running water. Like, it was a very simple device, and that was kind of to conduct orgone energy. And I would think that similarly, a person properly attuned might, you know, be able to act through the subtle energies of the ether, that you could have an effect on a larger scale like that.
Oh, and this could be used in places that suffer from droughts. And places where people are being deprived of water because of geopolitical events that are going on. You know, Africa is one such place. In fact, speaking of Africa, I'd like to share another musical moment and bring Toto back for a few minutes anyway. This is Africa. This is a live concert performed in Amsterdam, Holland.
Hey, 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 hey. bullet wings, we thank the stars and guide me towards salvation. I stopped in no land long away, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. You turn to me as if to say, solitary company. I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti, I seek to coach deep inside, right now this thing that I've begun. Hurry, boy, it's waiting after you.
Africa. I bless the rains in Africa. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. Interesting lyrics, Christopher, don't you think?
I couldn't make some of them out. I didn't catch up that.
Well, you're on the phone. That's the drawback of the phone. But that's a very spiritual song, and that song was certainly recognizing world problems that we have. We were talking about water before, and water is life. Water contains life. It's all over the planet. It's being polluted like crazy. It's being kept from people to cause them to suffer. I'm sure that brings out a lot of anger in you when you contemplate that. But what are your thoughts about the deprivation that's going on around the planet?
Oh, God. I just pray that humankind on this planet, that we realize together our common enemies, and that country, you know, this new movement to kind of not pay back the IMF and the World Bank. I mean, these groups have committed such crimes against humanity in what they've done to third world countries and sponsoring dictators and all the terrible things they've done. You know, I just still have this vision of humankind imprisoning these elites around the world as the being the true terrorists. Mm-hmm. And taking back our countries from these people, and it would set off such a period of, I think, rapture around the world. I imagine like bands going around the world and have liberating music, and just to bring people together around the world.
It's insane, you know, when you think about the financial community. Economics, the way they're designed, just in this country alone, you're required to pay back the money that they've stolen.
Yeah. And all the things, I mean, we look at our governments and we have completely criminal governments, you know, who violate all the legislation against terrorist acts. I mean, you just look, the CIA's been, you know, one of the principal terrorist organizations for the last 50 years.
Yes.
You know, and then everybody thinks the terrorists are the Muslims. And, I mean, generally, the Muslim terrorist groups are sponsored by the same people anyway. You know, they are on both sides of these conflicts. You know, it's like they have to have an enemy. So they find, you know, radical Muslim men and you know, bribe them, and they get enough psychopaths and they create. I mean, just as Al-Qaeda was kind of a creation of the CIA.
Mm-hmm. You know? Actually, so, they've been doing it for about 63 years, going on 64.
So humankind has never known... Like in our lives, we've never known life apart from the control of these people and these groups. Because in my view, it's like they have this scarcity consciousness in a way. You know, they think we're going to run out of oil. And then it's like they find huge new reserves all around the world. You just have to go deeper. Like there's so much oil there. And they have such a scarcity, like they want to reduce population because they have a kind of Malthusian doctrine that, you know, we can't, the population growth will exponentially increase and everyone will be starving and we'll all begin to eat each other. You know, they have this kind of simplistic, superficial philosophy. And instead, like, these people aren't visionary at all. Like, they want a new world order, but it's not a world of inspiration or beauty or social justice. It's not. It's like a nightmare fascist state. You know, mm-hmm. These people, like, so lack vision. In a way, they're so cunning, and what they've done is, you know, obviously demonstrates their cunning along with their psychopathy. But it really, it's all so petty. They're so small-minded, and it's quite disgraceful, and these people are really of the lowest types. I would just so love to see these people brought to justice. You know, when the American people decide, instead of giving these bankers trillions for the bank fraud they committed, that instead you imprison them and take back all their assets, you know, take back all their assets, pay off the debts of the United States, you know, cut your income tax in half within a year if you didn't waste so much money all the time on everything. You know, it's just so disgraceful. And all the things government spends money on, none of it which produces anything useful. Like, you just think of the billions and billions of money spent on security everywhere at all. Like, everyone's, since 9/11, everyone's been searched at the airport, and you can't have two pairs of scissors on you if you go on a plane, or only one lighter, or you can't have a bottle with more than 8 ounces of water in it. All these ridiculous things. And the whole time, there never were any hijacked airplanes the whole time. The whole thing was a fraud. And now we spend billions and billions of dollars for this, all this security stuff, and it never captures anybody.
Well, these
things that do happen are done by the elites themselves.
Yeah,
you know, they have their underwear bomber and their shoe bomber, and it's such a farce.
Mm-hmm. These are just branches of their corporations. You know, they set up an agency, they give it three letters. And all of a sudden, this is the agency that's supposed to be making us safe, when in reality, it's their agency created by the ones that caused the problem in the first place. It's all problem, reaction, solution. But the solution is just another problem, you know, like a Trojan horse waiting to pounce upon us. That's what we have to wake up to, you know, in terms of that reality. We don't have to be fearful of it. Just see it for what it is, and then begin to affect a change, a real change, not a change of promise. Yeah, we're experiencing change in America, but it's all downhill. It's disgusting what's going on. It's obscene, and it's, again, you know, we said at the top of the show, the media is complicit in covering up what's going on. They're part of it. They're absolutely part of it. You know, and if many people talk to their priest or their minister or their rabbi at their place of worship, they're part of the problem too.
Yeah, they don't want to face it. I've tried to talk to a few people who I thought would pay attention and see some responsibility, and it's just like they're so scared they can't face the problems.
You know, they would say God wouldn't let that happen. Well, in a free will universe, God did let that happen, but it's not his intention to allow it to go on through eternity.
No, I mean, he even wrote about it in his holy book. You know, Revelations is a pretty shocking manuscript. You know, I studied to try to understand what it's saying. But there's certain things that are so profoundly significant. Like in the Bible, how they talk about, you know, they say they are Jews and they're not Jews. And how that all applies to how these, like, Khazarians and, you know, and they've kind of hidden behind being Jewish and behind anti-Semitism, and like they say they're Jews, but the whole time, in a way, it's been a deception, and they've not embraced even other Jews, you know. But just as one example, and you know, the idea of the mark upon your right hand or your forehead, and how that relates to possibly being microchipped, you know, for the just. Some things in the Bible are quite shocking in light of current events in the world. How one-third of the life in the oceans is destroyed. Well, it may be only a few years before we see that as a consequence of what's already been done. And now they have all these huge military exercises off the coast of the United States where they're going to despoil your environment and kill 11 million sea mammals. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
It's unbelievable. How can the U.S. military is being used against the American people? It's so bizarre.
It's being used against other parts of the world as well. But they're not alone in this either.
No.
You see, this is all contrived. It's all scripted to go down a certain way. And, you know, when you look at these, when you look at what's happening today, you can see how we're being set up to have the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible, be stomped upon and drugged through the mud, as they have already for centuries. They've been at it.
Yeah.
But the attack is on Christians, it's on Christianity, and it's on their written works, the scriptures. Well, you know, if you don't like it, turn the dial. It doesn't have to happen. These things don't have to happen. They don't have to occur. They're not natural. In many other parts of the universe, this is not allowed. I'm not by any means saying it doesn't go on, but ultimately, when one begins to know who they are, these realities open up to you, despite what the media says about it. The media doesn't know. You know, if they didn't have their heads where they have them, they would know. Let's use your imagination. Well, any closing thoughts, Christopher? I appreciate you being on the show. And
I think it's a really good theme that we touched on this evening about, like, trying to face your fear and for people not to fall into fear. And you know, whether that's kind of working through your breath or taking breaks from your regular activity, trying to be present, you know, trying to get out and do something to stand up and you know, something active instead of only, you know. I think there's another pitfall in we get so tied into the internet. I do, internet radio. You know, it's wonderful. You know, it's quite amazing. I mean, it's an amazing time also because it's like all this knowledge is coming out. Sometimes I feel it's like we're being filled with knowledge, which has never been available for through my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, internet radio and these types of talk shows are really quite wonderful. And there is a community of us, and this is how we connect. So I'd like to thank you, Don, for having me, and thank BBS again. And
well, we'll have to have you on some more. I want to continue this discussion because ultimately the stories have an impact on us, and it's important for us to get to the bottom of each one. It's important to understand the truth, to know what's going on. We don't have to run from it. We should face it. And we should know that in making that decision to do so, we get help from on high.
Yeah.
Miraculously, the help comes. But you're not going to get help doing nothing. I love having you on the show and this discussion, even though it was at times tangential. I think we talked about some things that people should consider, because we're being played like an out of tune banjo right now. I often think of the sound score, the music score to the movie Deliverance. And
I don't know that as well. I always loved the Braveheart music. It is really quite beautiful, eh? That was an inspirational movie.
Well, Deliverance was I'm saying the music itself is very picturesque, okay, in terms of what goes on in the movie. But it's real backwoods kind of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of class happening.
Yeah, I remember the banjo sequences. Like, that was good.
Well, that's how they're playing us right now with what's going on in the world. So this gave us an opportunity to face those things and talk about a few things that people can do to let it go and release attention and all that. Christopher, hope to have you on this coming month, if you can make the time in your busy schedule.
Yeah, anytime, Don. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Well, thanks for being on. You have a good night.
Goodbye.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest tonight, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Be sure to visit his site, zeropoint.ca, and his radio show is also on BBSRadio.com every second Saturday, and it's called Zero Point. And if you're in there, Seth or Don, and you hear the phone, they're not hearing it. Oh, all right. Special thanks.
I apologize. I was in the bathroom. I heard it, but couldn't move.
All right. Well, thanks, Don. I want to thank Windtalkers Radio Network for making Evident Footprints travel around the world on the airwaves. Over at BBS Radio, both Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom for stopping the phone beeping there. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when I have two special guests, Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, I thank you for tuning in, and I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.